Chapter 30, Great Saltpeter Cave. May 1st, Earth. It's May 1st, and we're standing in Great Saltpeter Cave. Ms. Dada's friend lent her the key to the cave, and we convinced all our families to spend the weekend camping down in Renfrew Valley, Kentucky. I have to say that it is incredible standing in the great room in the cave. It feels spooky because we almost feel as though we are on Mirth. The interior of this cave is about the only thing that hasn't changed over the past 12,000 years. We drove down I-75 and traced our route on the map. I think we saw the hill we camped on at the edge of the vast prairie, although Sean and I disagreed about exactly which one was our campsite. We did agree that driving down the expressway was a lot easier than our march through the tall grasses. The training valley was recognizable, although the river had shifted on Mirth. Here, we were camping in a big field below the steep cave hill, but our tents would have been in the river on Mirth. The ridge looked the same, though, and it felt like home. I could almost imagine the bridge across the river and the small trainer's village in the clearing on the other side. The governor had kept her word and delivered a big DC motor to Mr. Nirwani and Ms. Dada, who rented a huge moving truck to bring it to the cave. I couldn't understand why they needed such a large truck until they opened it up and I looked inside. The vehicle was filled with all sorts of supplies, like dry and canned food, books, matches, and all kinds of other stuff. I'm not sure why they packed a complete library and 10 years of supplies in the back of that truck, but Sean assured me it would all become clear soon enough. I just wish they'd packed more kid-friendly food and reading material. I didn't see one candy bar or bag of chips in there, not a single movie, and all the books were non-fiction. We had set up the DC motor in the middle of the great room in the cave. The expansive chamber appeared to have been used as an auditorium at some point in time. It was close to bedtime. Tonight, we would go to sleep here on Earth, and tomorrow morning, we would wake up with the prophecy fulfilled or not. I wasn't sure how we were going to be able to go to sleep, but there was a little more to do before bed. Our families were all in the campground, but we were going to sleep in the cave tonight. Ms. Dada called the final meeting of Club S&M and asked Sean to explain what was about to happen. Raquel was sitting beside me, and we were discreetly holding hands in the dimly lit room. Sean explained that we were going to open a stable portal between the two worlds, and that she knew what Merlin had done wrong. It turns out that Arthur was almost right. His motor worked just fine, it just wasn't anchored anywhere in our world. The portal could transfer information between the worlds, but it could neither transfer mass nor energy. We weren't sure what that meant, but Sean assured us that Jessica would explain it when we got back to Mirth. The point was that we needed to create nearly identical settings on both worlds for the transfer to work. We even needed to turn on the motor before going to sleep, and to sleep in specific places. Us four heroes were supposed to sleep in a group with two of us close to the device and the other two a little farther away. Janice, Ms. Dada, and Mr. Nirwani were supposed to sleep at the farther distance, but spread out from the rest of us. Sean had even arranged the heroes' sleeping bags so that two of us were upside down. Nancy claimed there was no way she was going to put her nose near my stinky feet, but Sean and Ms. Dada insisted. Everything was ready, and Ms. Dada said it was time to take the final vote. She wanted to know whether we still wanted to go through with it. I thought that was an insane question to ask now, and it was evident that the other heroes felt the same way. Ms. Dada held up her hand and said that there was one more thing we should know before deciding. Then she looked at Sean. Sean looked about as guilty as I had felt when I thought I had failed to fulfill the prophecy. I felt that there was nothing she could say which would cause us to back out now. I was wrong. Sean sighed as she began. I now understand why everyone always hates the key. Jessica is an absolute jerk who doesn't give out any information until the very last second, and it is so annoying. Nancy laughed, sort of like what you're doing now. We all laughed at her observation, and even Sean joined in. Yeah, you're right, but I had a good reason this time. Jessica never told her team this little tidbit, but I feel you need to know. Ms. Dada and I also thought that you wouldn't want to dwell on it any longer than necessary. You see, we're not just creating a portal between our worlds, we're bringing magic to our Earth, and it has a severe side effect. If everything works, the magical motor and our electrical motor should switch worlds and stop working because they have no power sources. This motor runs on electrical current, which isn't available on Earth. The talisman motor runs on magical power, which isn't available here. The portal will close as soon as they stop spinning. Okay, that sounded disappointing and entirely not worth all the time and aggravation we went through. Veronica asked, so why did we even bother then? Sean smiled and said, because there's one more step in the process. Does anyone know what happens when you spin the shaft of a DC motor? Raquel's hand shut up and she said in one word, generator. Sean said, you don't need to raise your hand, Raquel, but you are right. Spinning a DC motor's shaft will generate electricity, while spinning the shaft of a motor built from dragonstones will produce magical power. We are bringing a magical energy generator here to Earth. Okay, I didn't see that coming, but it didn't seem like such a little generator would throw off very much power. Veronica raised my question before I had the chance, though. Sean nodded and answered, you are right. This baby won't produce nearly enough magic to power the world, and we certainly don't want to spend our lives cranking it. Fortunately, there should be enough residual magical energy to perform two simultaneous tricks. Mark is going to teleport this to the center of the Earth, while the other three of you enlarge it to the size of the Earth's core. The rotation of our planet's core will cause it to spin and generate a powerful magical field. Nancy complained, but we can't do magic here. Sean smiled and disagreed. Not yet, but you will after Elisa, Narayana, Versera, and Stavius come through the portal. Veronica corrected her. You mean Terra, Luna, Venus, and Mars. We're going to be Earth's new gods. We should start using our proper names. Raquel giggled and the others all high-fived each other. I was the only one not smiling. I still couldn't teleport. Once again, I was being set up to let the team down. This situation stunk, but I wasn't going to remind any of them of my magical deficiencies. Nancy was singing, "We're gonna be gods," and dancing with Rosera when she stopped and asked, "So what's the bad news you were waiting to tell us?" I thought that I already knew the bad news, but I was wrong again. Sean became somber and said, "Well, you see, there's a side effect to magical energy. Our generator is going to periodically send out energy spikes, which will disrupt all hydrocarbon bonds. These sporadic disruptions will occur every few hours and will only last for a few milliseconds, but will impact the entire world." "So?" asked Nancy. Ms. Dada replied, "So every molecule of every petroleum-based product will come apart. No more oil or gasoline in the world. No more plastics, no more computers or phones, no more electricity." I pointed out that the electricity doesn't involve hydrocarbons. Veronica countered that the power plant generators do, and Nancy added that the insulation and all the wires which carry it do as well. Sean was right. This was big. Nancy said, "Well, that explains what happened to all the plastic in the future." Mr. Narwani added that the hydrocarbon disruptions should start small and increase as the Earth's magical field expands. Underground oil fields will be spoiled first, since they are closest to the Earth's core. Petroleum-based products on the Earth's surface will fail next. Eventually, it will affect objects in the sky and orbiting the Earth. He wasn't sure how far the field would extend, but pointed out that the Moon, Venus, and Mars all appeared to have magical power in the future. "We should have time to get planes out of the skies and to safely shut down nuclear power plants as long as everyone is warned." "Which brings us to our final act," concluded Sean as she held up her phone. "You each need to type in your birth date and click the corresponding button on this website if you agree to proceed. It will release a virus to the cloud which will spread to every computer, app, smartphone, and printer on the planet." I had to ask, "And what will this virus do?" Sean grinned and said, "First, it will send a message warning about the impending hydrocarbon breakdown. Then, it will send a second message disseminating the prophecy to everyone on the planet." Veronica said, "I think you should press the button, Sean. After all, don't the stories all agree that Janice is the one who destroyed the world?" I knew she was joking, but I agreed. I didn't want to press that button. Sean grinned and said, "No way. I am sick of taking all the blame, so I rewrote the story. This time we wipe out the world's evil and bring magic to it together. You did say I was part of the team, didn't you?" I couldn't argue with that and realized how much always being considered the bad guy must wear on Janice. Sean was right. We are a team, so this has to come from all of us. She handed me the phone and said, "This is where it all begins."